let's talk about digital currencies here for a minute. I have not seen any indication that the world governments are backing off or slowing down their introductions of digital wallets or digital currencies in any way whatsoever. If anything, they are accelerating the rollouts. So we're seeing the FedNow program in the United States that's going to be active sometime between May and July of 2023. And that's on the Federal Reserve's own website. You can read that. We've got the digital British pound being rolled out by the UK next year. We've got Nigeria, of course, already pushing their digital currency and limiting cash withdrawals from banks and ATMs in order to try to force people into the digital system. And then we've got, of course, the global digital currency system from the BRICS nations, which will double as a new world reserve currency system, but they will have it backed by gold and other commodities. So, in every case, every government-sponsored digital currency system has certain properties in common. Most notable is that it is programmable money, and it's a surveillance system. So by programmable, what that means is, of course, they can cause your money to expire, to force you to spend it within a certain time period. They can have negative interest rates, so the longer you leave your money in, the less of it you have. And believe me, that's being planned as well. There will be circumstances where they roll that out. But they can also limit your expenditures by region, by category. They can say you can only buy a certain amount of food or a certain amount of ammunition or a certain amount of firearms per year or sporting goods or what have you. And this is the real danger of it, is that it's not anonymous money anymore. You can't buy whatever you want to buy, which currently you can with, you know, dollars or fiat currency. You can go out, as long as you've got the cash, you can go out and spend it on all kinds of crazy stuff. I want 10 jet skis. Okay, if you've got the money, somebody will sell them to you. But not under the digital currency system, the digital dollar or the digital pound, they'll limit what you can buy. Now, in promoting these systems, the central banks and governments of the world will tout the security of the system. They'll say, oh, it's secure and it's guaranteed. You can't lose money in the system. So, well, highly secure, encrypted, or whatever security features they have. But they'll never talk about privacy because, of course, it won't be private at all. It will be a financial surveillance system. And the more you use it, the more data gets gathered on you, and the less privacy you have. And of course, they can start restricting your access to your own money if you don't comply with the ESG scores or social credit score system. So, oh, if you criticize transgenderism, for example, oh, guess what? You're fined and you can't get your money out. Or if you support Trump or something, right? Oh, your money's frozen. What do you know? If you say the wrong thing, if you support the wrong ideas, if you use the wrong words, like, I don't know, ivermectin, minus 1,000 credits. So that's how the system's going to work. And only fools will use it. The vast majority of people who are informed will reject this system. And that's a given. It's happening in Nigeria. It will happen everywhere around the world. People will say not just no, but hell no. So the governments are going to have to find ways to force people into it or to trick people into it. And that's where they're going to come up with financial collapse that's engineered, or a currency crisis, or a debt collapse. Something to cause a major crisis that scares people into using this system. It's kind of like how they use COVID to scare people into taking vaccine suicide shots. Infertility shots, you know, myocarditis accelerators. They're going to cause a crisis to force people into the digital wallets. So what kind of crisis would that be? Well, by definition, it has to be a financial crisis of some kind, right? Gotta be. It would have to be something really scary. What would scare people about their finances? Pretty much losing their money, losing their savings. So whatever gets engineered, it would have to be something that threatens the security of your money or the security of your assets in the existing system. So what are those possible scenarios? Cyber attacks, bank bail-ins, bank freezes, you know, currency collapse, debt implosion, all kinds of things. But remember, the very people who created this problem, they can never take the blame for it, so they have to blame someone else. They have to have third parties that will take the blame. So they will have a narrative ready to blame Russia or China or hackers or MAGA somehow, or aliens for that matter. As long as they don't blame themselves, they will blame someone else, and then they will say they are the saviors. And the way that you get saved is you jump into the digital wallet system. Now, for a lot of people, this will seem compelling. They'll jump in. But to people like you and I, this won't be compelling at all. We will pursue alternative financial ecosystems. We will focus our activities in these parallel or alternative systems, whatever they look like. I don't know if that's some combination of crypto and silver, gold, or people bartering seeds and ammo and having crypto on top of that. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet. Are people writing checks to each other? Who knows? But there will be a thriving non-digital wallet economy, at least non-central bank digital currency economy, and that will be thriving all around the world. And there will be payment processors in that space. There will be merchants in that space. There will be a lot of people who will only buy and sell in that space because it represents the free economy, free transactions. Financial transactions without surveillance, or at least without the kind of surveillance that comes with digital wallets. And whatever those systems are, the value that will be expressed and stored in that system will be based on real things, such as real physical gold and silver. So if you are stockpiling, let's say, silver coins right now, or 1 ounce coins or junk silver, whatever it is, rest assured that will have value that is recognized in the parallel alternative system, whatever that looks like, because it has to be based on intrinsic value, because it won't be based on some kind of automatic trust. And what crypto has demonstrated, especially with the fall of FTX and Sam Bankman, it's demonstrated that you can't trust cryptocurrency. You can't trust it at all. And nor should you, because it's backed by nothing. So there will be intense demand for transactional systems that are based on things that require no trust. In other words, things that have zero counterparty risk. What are those things? Well, obviously gold and silver. Obviously, things with intrinsic value. You know, it could be food, could be seeds, could be copper, aluminum, you know, all kinds of metals. It could be bearer bonds to some kind of system that actually holds assets in vault storage or something, which is really getting back to the history of what money used to be. You know, silver notes were proxies for actual physical silver. In any case, whatever you can accumulate that is real and physical and intrinsic in value will continue to have value in whatever system emerges as people reject the central bank digital currencies. And that rejection is going to be global. Doesn't mean that the CBDCs will completely fail and be revoked. It's just that they won't be embraced to the very large extent that the government wants them to be. That's what it means. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, The Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also Brighteon.com.